Welcome to Subject to Blackout. My name is Timo, and with me, as always, from the name Taken Pod, is Mike. And Mike, we did it.
We did.
We, over the last... It is technically July 1st as of recording, but in the month of June, we successfully watched all 9 mainline Fast and the Furious films. And this past weekend, we wrapped up the series by going to an actual theater with people in it and experiencing something. And that something was twofold. The first was F9, and the second was the 4DX experience.
Yes.
And for those listeners who don't know what a 4DX experience is, we also didn't know what a 4DX experience was. I bought the wrong tickets. Turns out it turns a movie into a theme park ride.
It does.
And your chair moves and they shoot water in your face and there's fans and smoke machines and strobe lights and all of that goodness. It was quite the experience, and I'm sure we'll get into it. Mike, I don't think Fast 9 was the best film in the series.
What would you say that is your favorite one, having seen all 9?
Tokyo Drift or 5?
I would say Tokyo Drift, probably, or 1.
Yeah, 1 has the big problem for me, where it's like, Dom's not the bad guy. Dom is the bad guy. I'm going to let him go anyway. But yeah, I mean, those two are probably my favorite. This, however, because of the comical way in which our theater experience unfolded, I would have to say that F9 was the most fun I had watching any of these films. How did you feel about F9?
Yeah, I mean, I think these are movies that are supposed to be enjoyed with other people around, because they are kind of like goofy in grindhouse movies, and the ridiculousness is amplified by a bunch of other people also bearing witness at the same time. So yeah, in terms of like the conviviality of it, I think this was probably the most fun as experiences go. As movies go, this wasn't the best one.
No.
But as an experience, yeah, it was fun. And like, also to reiterate, that the seats rocked, by which I mean they jostled us back and forth, both when people were driving and also like when people were like opening drawers and like windows and crap too. The entire experience was
and for like swooping camera, like, you know, shots.
Yeah.
They would also swoop you in.
It was comprehensively extreme.
They would also punch you in the back while people were getting punched on screen.
They would punch you in the back. Yep.
That was
the whole thing.
Yeah. That was probably the least. If I could tell 4DX to change anything, it would be get rid of the things in the back of the seat that punch you. That did not enhance my experience.
I was not enhanced, no.
No, I gotta say, like, this was the first of these movies which I didn't actually watch by myself. So that, along with the unfolding realization that I had bought tickets to a thing that I didn't understand... made the first half an hour of that movie very, very funny to me. I was laughing my ass off for at least the first half an hour, if not the first 45 minutes, pretty consistently. And fortunately, the people around us were having a good time with it as well. But yeah, I think in hindsight, that couldn't have gone any better.
Mm-hmm.
Turning the Fast and the Furious into a theme park ride is an inevitability on par with the heat death of the universe. And I very much enjoy that we accidentally experienced that. And I think it made the viewing experience of what was an okay Fast and the Furious movie about 10 to 15 times better. So let's just get right into it, Mike. We can first just sort of summarize what happened in F9, which was everything. There was so many things happened. These movies get fuller and fuller as they go along.
Sure.
But I think some of the ridiculousness of the car stunts over the last several movies they just said, well, we can't go bigger realistically, so let's just get fun, stupid. And that's where you just drive over mines and just go fast enough where it doesn't kill anyone. And that's where you drive up a collapsing bridge, even though that's not how physics works. And that's also how you get Dom, who knows if he crashes into a pillar, his car is going to get hooked onto a wire and right. swing around and save him and his wife.
Right.
It was stuff like that where it was just like, yeah, they're definitely going to space by the end of this thing.
I'm trying to think about what they can possibly do for 10. Because I've seen a few times that they've claimed 10's going to be the last one. And it'll be the last one until like 11 can make money. But which it will.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking about this. Drifting Snowpiercer. That's what they could do. They could commandeer and then drift a train.
Can I tell you a real...
A Snowball Earth future. Yes, go ahead. Ed Harris will be there.
Can I tell you a real rumor?
Yeah.
That
go ahead.
That allegedly Warner Brothers execs want to make happen.
Okay.
And that is combining the Fast and the Furious Transformers? Series. With Jurassic World.
Oh, totally.
Dinosaurs versus cars. You may have the Triceratops teeth, but I got American muscle.
Dude, I would...
This is a real rumor, Mike, and Fast 10 couldn't get on there fast enough.
I think a Raptor would lose to an SUV. I think if you had a Jeep Grand Cherokee and a Velociraptor, that you could run that bitch down. I do. I would watch that.
They're fast. They're not that fast.
Yeah. They still got bones that can be broken.
Not Dom doesn't, that's for sure.
Oh, man.
Dom has never been in a car wreck where he couldn't get out immediately.
Yeah, no, I'm just trying to think of, like, what are dinosaurs that you could run into, like, head on and just keep going? Like, what dinosaurs go down like deer? Just, like, bang, they explode, and you're just kind of like, that's it. Totally raptors. You can just run them down.
Oh, yeah. Maybe a Gallimimus.
Maybe a Gallimimus? Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Feel really good about pulling that one out, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. Listen, I've watched Jurassic Park about 1,000 times in my life. Yeah, I know that it's fucking Gallimimus. Gallimimus. Yeah. Well, Timmy says it. You think I didn't memorize all of Tim's lines? Yeah, I did.
Just run down those children, run down raptors.
Oh my God. The guy who replaces,
what are you doing
here? The guy who replaces Paul Walker in the next movie has to be Timmy. That guy's the right age. He's got to be in his 40s, 30s or 40s. And he's still a working actor. He was in something that I saw a couple years ago. And I was like, is that Timmy from Jurassic Park? And it was.
I don't know. Again,
can you imagine
Laura Dern riding her high from Little Women becomes Brian O'Connor, and they just call her Brian the entire time.
That would be amazing.
Drifts one of those like Jurassic Park Jeeps like straight into a T-Rex.
And I always wanted one of those Jurassic Park Jeeps. Those are hot. The Jurassic Park Explorers were great too.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Ian Malcolm just going, "Must go faster, must go faster." Dom's like, don't worry about it. We got break bush. Because at that point, Dom continues to melt.
I would watch the hell out of that movie.
I'm very excited for that. So we briefly, after we saw the movie, we briefly went to dinner and kind of discussed what had just happened. I think we were mostly just shell-shocked.
We were.
As to what we had just experienced with the theater throwing us around.
I've had some time to reflect on it. Yeah, I've had some time to reflect. The stupid things we saw are just as stupid, but I've actually, now that I've taken some time to think about it, there are other stupid things that we didn't talk about, but were pretty much prevalent throughout the movie.
Well, I think...
Stupid,
I think
one some thing, stupid in a bad way, but a lot of stupid in a good way.
I think one of the fun things about this movie was they went back and did flashbacks to Dom's early life because they were introducing a brother through the first eight movies had never been mentioned despite Freya Bully.
Right. And they're like, ah, crap. We got it. Yeah.
So they went back and they...
they should have just ignored it.
Yeah, they retroactively added a couple of things that helped make the introduction of this brother character somewhat make sense. But I thought it was also really telling that they got these two young actors to play Dom. And I thought the guy who played Dom as a, you know, teenager was pretty good.
He was good.
And you know that if, you know, let's say after Fast 10, Vin Diesel no longer wants to do these movies, they can just go back and do Fast and the Furious in the 80s and 90s with those two young actors.
That's true.
Like,
yeah, you're right.
There's nothing stopping them from continuing the series.
Do you know what would be a better crossover franchise? Harry Potter. Think about just trying to, like, run down a Dementor.
I think that'd be a little bit harder to work Fiero. In. No, the Fieros go in space. They don't deal with magic. Yeah, that was the other thing, is they, it was well-rumored, and they actually did it. They actually took a car into outer space. They didn't drift it or anything. Nope. They did somehow drive it through a satellite. I don't know how you drive through a satellite and live in outer space, but they did it, goddammit.
Yeah, I mean...
And from here...
Who are we to suggest it's not possible? I'm not a scientist. Are you, Tim? No.
No one on that film was either, so...
Ludicrous. But,
yeah, I mean... He did play a guy who knew more than any scientist. But, I mean, from space, where do you go? And it has to be Jurassic Park, right?
Jurassic Park, I say they commandeer trains in the future. Like Snowpiercer. But yeah, no, I think you're right. Like, it has to be a crossover. Transformers, they could easily do Transformers. That's like Cars, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that could work. But I think the least ridiculous that I've heard is Jurassic Park, because you just go like, oh yeah, you know, this is happening in the same universe. They just didn't talk about it because, you know, the last time the dinosaurs got out was in the 90s. So that was before we met up with Dom and the gang. But yeah, I mean, you could just retcon it to be like, oh yeah, did you hear about that shit in Costa Rica? And then they just drop out of a plane, go to Costa Rica, and one of them almost gets eaten by a T-Rex. Like, it writes itself.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
You just hear the Jurassic Park movie and then I mean, what do you call that? It's got to be like Triassically Furious or something.
Ooh. We're gonna have to workshop some names in the next couple of years.
Fast 11, though, I think it's happening. I mean, it could happen in 10, because they're running out of room. They've fallen from the sky, they've jumped from building to building, and now they've been in space, so I don't know what the fuck you do. But,
honestly, yeah, you have, like, a really intense, character-driven drama, is what you do, without any cars to speak of. Like, just, like, entirely wall-to-wall melodrama. That's what you do.
My dinner with Dom.
Yes, you do that. Just like a complete character study.
I mean, I'm not against it. I think if you're not going to go crossover with some ridiculous series and just lean into the absurdity that is the Fast and the Furious series. I mean, it's one of like two nonologies ever and it's going to keep going.
Yeah.
I think you have to go a lot smaller. And I don't know if that's with the mainline cast or if it's, you know, a soft reboot, but I don't think you can keep going bigger. I still didn't get John Wick with cars. like I was hoping for.
Yeah.
But if you give me a movie that is an hour and 45 minutes, because stop making these 2.5 hours long. If you give me a movie that's an hour and 45 minutes that has a bit of actual character work and then like car chase scenes like from the original Bourne Identity, like give me like 3 of those and maybe like 1 good fist fight scene and like just call it a day. Like that's because you can't keep going bigger unless the Guardians of the Galaxy like show up. Which I'm here for, but I don't think that's going to happen.
You know, the thing that sucks about like all Warner Brothers stuff, I mean, Warner Brothers is like desperate to have the diversity and the festive whimsy of like Marvel, but they screw it up every time with this sort of like desperate and stunted masculinity, the masculinity that assumes like everything has to be some like obnoxious kind of grimdark thing. Which is what, like, Zack Snyder was just 4.5 hours of, like, a very insecure man standing in front of a full-length mirror naked, flexing and masturbating while not breaking eye contact with himself. That's what Zack Snyder was. Fight me. But, like, that was kind of what was going on here, where, like, at no point, we had two characters. We had, like, Ludacris and Tyrese Gibson, who were kind of, like, comic relief. But for the most part, everybody was just sort of like serious and kind of like angry and just kind of cynical the entire time. There wasn't really any kind of like levity. There wasn't any like joy between any of the characters. Everyone was just kind of like entirely disconnected from each other in a way that like didn't make any of the characters compelling, didn't make any of the motivations feel like they had any weight. Like, we kind of had to keep being reminded that there was a MacGuffin, because otherwise, like, there wasn't really anything driving anybody towards doing anything. Everyone was just sort of, like, just being kind of doomy off to the side.
Well, and not only was it, like, the constant need to remind you that there's a MacGuffin to keep the plot going, but also that being the thing that kept everything going was so contrived, and just like they throw it together very quickly in the movie that this thing happened and there's a plane crash and 2 minutes later we're in the first chase scene. Right. And so you don't even really have time to like, wait, what's happening?
No, they assemble like they're the X-Men. They just like get in a Dr. X's plane and just like fuck off to the jungle.
Yeah, it was very, very considering that this was a 2.5 hour long movie, it is insane how quickly they get to the first action set piece from where the film starts.
Yeah.
And once they get to that, it just kind of keeps going. And you don't, again, think about what is actually driving this whole plot. And by the time you kind of, the movie sort of slows down later in when they're, talking about what the MacGuffin actually is once they have Han back and once they have the MacGuffin and once this girl comes into the picture, and you realize that the whole thing is this Japanese couple by themselves made some sort of doomsday device and it can hack like everything everywhere always. And nobody knows why. I don't remember if they said why they did it. It doesn't make any sense why you would do this. And then they tied it to their daughter's DNA, which is super fucked up thing to do to a child.
Well, it was tied to their own DNA.
Yeah. So them being murdered, now it's only their daughter who can access it.
Right. Which was also bizarre. Yeah. Why do people make doomsday weapons? What was the motivation?
I don't, if they said it, I didn't hear it. But they wanted to gloss over the fact that it was, you know, such a patently ridiculous idea. It successfully did it by just distracting you with shiny objects. And you know, I think they were assisted by seats that were throwing us around and punching us. But I like that, looking back on it, is like there were a bunch of fun scenes in this. There was a bunch of like funny stuff. And again, I had a really good time, but like looking back on it, they're just like, I don't know, we have a thing and it's really bad. Like, I don't know how the movie gets bigger because they went to space. And I don't know how the bad thing that's happening gets any worse because they had a thing that could hack everything.
Right.
So what's the next thing? It's got to be a dinosaur.
It's hard. It is hard to predict these series because basically I feel like the way these things are written is they come up with like a plot and a series of events. And then just sort of determine who's going to now have those skills within the group to like effectively manage each of those things. Like apparently these people can like hack into this and that, just like, I don't know. This is still a movie that holds true to the 90s tradition of hacking, where someone just sort of like does just keyboard noises for 10 seconds, does the like, I'm in. This
always saying I'm in when done.
Yeah, this is holding towards that tradition. So, I don't know. It's the problem with this whole series for me is that the things that are fun are the extremely stupid car things. And then anytime anybody opens their mouth and tries to talk about literally anything that isn't cars for more than 10 seconds, I get like deeply resentful of everybody on screen. So, I don't know why they continue to insist to try and develop these characters. I guess like you certainly need some kind of downtime between action sequences, but not nearly as torturously long as the ones that we've experienced in the last three movies. So yeah. If it was just dinosaurs and cars the entire time, it would be fine.
Yeah. And I mean, they're going to give you, they're going to have plots with character arcs.
Okay, like I got here.
Reboot. That's how movies work, but yeah. you can't make these movies 2 hours long anymore. Definitely not 2.5.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
It's unsustainable.
Reboot the series. It's still about cars, but all of the main characters have been changed to dinosaurs. How about that?
Are they normal human-shaped cars? How do they drive the cars?
Their tails stick out of the passenger side windows.
They're kind of sideways in the All right. I couldn't figure that out.
Yeah, and they'll just have like a T-top convertible. It'll be fine.
Vin Diesel has a long history of successful and iconic voice work. So
that's true.
You know,
he is Groot.
He's also the Iron Giant.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people do. Not this guy. Just like I always remember that Michael Bay has two movies in the Criterion Collection.
Michael Bay.
If you had to put one of these movies in the Criterion Collection.
Which one?
Which one is it?
I would put the first one in the Criterion Collection.
That's fair enough. I mean, it's the thing that started it all.
Yeah, it was a cultural event. Yeah, I mean the first movie tries.
I might put 5, and I might put this one just because it's so dumb.
Yeah, I mean the first movie tries to be a movie.
Yeah. It really wants to be Point Break, but it just doesn't earn any of it.
Yeah, I mean, Paul Walker was just never going to have the same. Like he could certainly have the same delivery, the same sort of like. Toneless delivery that Keanu Reeves always has, but he would have never had the place in our hearts that Keanu did. It would have been
he was never,
and Vin Diesel Ted. Could never be Sandra Bullock.
No, that would be real hard for him.
Sandy His Bullock boobs is an American are icon. Way too big. Yes.
Things you don't often hear, but need to be said.
True,
that's what this podcast is for.
Yes.
All right, Mike. Do you have any other takeaways before we wrap up the Fast and the Furious series? Do you have any other takeaways about Fast 9?
No, I just that again, the action sequences were really funny for the most part and kind of goofy. It was just learning about the characters and watching them interact so joylessly, like kind of took the energy out of the action sequences for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of that is Vin Diesel. I think he has a producer credit on these, and I think he thinks these are super serious and, you know, melodramatic films that deserve
certainly does
complex stories.
That was communicated to me. Yes, someone believes that.
Yeah, like when he goes full Samson and pulls down a whole like tray of bad guys.
Yeah, that was like a very obvious Samson pulling down the stadium from the two columns, but no hair, still very bald. Just saying.
Yeah, aggressively.
Yeah.
But I think what Justin Lin brings to the series, which if you like 3, 5, and 9, those are all Justin Lin films. I think what he brings to the series is he knows what's happening. Mm-hmm. And he knows that the action sequences should be exciting and funny. Mm-hmm. Because these action sequences were almost all of them very funny. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not clear that that's 100% intent, but it feels like there's intent there. And sure. It feels like when Justin Lin tries to have fun with the script, like you said, when it's not Vin Diesel, it's usually guys joking around and, you know, talking about how they got bullet holes in them and they're invincible and going into space, you know, all that shit with non-Vin Diesel characters. But then you get Vin Diesel in the scene and everything just slows down to a grind and everything is melodrama and, you know, literal family drama and all that stuff. And it just feels like Vin doesn't quite get what this needs to be. I feel like if you were able to replace him with The Rock and just take him out of these movies are 10 times more fun. But Vin Diesel is so fucking annoying that The Rock wasn't even in this movie.
Yeah, that was a bummer. I was really hoping to see The Rock in this movie.
Well, and that's why, you know, they famously don't like each other and try not to work with each other. In Fast and the Furious 8, they don't share a single camera shot together because they would not be on set with each other. And that became unsustainable. So that's why there's a Hobbs and Shaw series. Right. And there's going to be a second movie of those. And while I'm kind of interested in seeing what Hobbs and Shaw looks like, I am so Fast and the Furious out that I do not need to see that for a while. But one day I will watch that film. And I'm sure it will be very enjoyable because Jason Statham and The Rock are both
very fun
actors who know what they're doing. And that's being silly in silly movies.
Yeah.
All right, Mike, let's take a quick little break here. We'll come right back. We'll talk a little bit about the Fast saga altogether.
Sure.
And then we'll have a little discussion on what we've been watching outside of the Fast series of the last month.
Finally, now we get to do that again.
Here's what's coming up next week on Subject to Black. Now that Mike and I have a Furiously Fast Film Fest in our rearview mirror, we're turning our eyes towards a film classic. Join us as we celebrate the 50th anniversary of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. This combination of Gene Wilder's genius, along with the Quaker Oat Company's proto-product integration, led to one of the strangest and yet most surreally wonderful films of this or any other decade. Whether it be psychedelic boat scenes, the killing of animals live on screen, or the exuberant charm of the incomparable Gene Wilder, Mike and I are going to take a look underneath this movie's wrapper and see if we can't find any golden tickets that others haven't found yet. All right, Mike, now that we've wrapped up the Fast and the Furious saga as it stands today, what are some of your thoughts on the experience?
I mean, this is kind of like what I was thinking about last week, where at different times, I'm glad that we did this because it was an opportunity, to reflect on what I like about movies and what I don't like about movies. But also, so I vacillate between being pleased to have that opportunity to reflect and hating you for doing this to us for an entire month.
So, yeah, I mean, some said it was impossible. Actually, no, I'm sorry. I'm being told they said it was unconscionable.
Yeah, it was.
And honestly, I went into this thinking maybe they'll be better than I expect. And with a few exceptions, they weren't. They were about what I expected. And I did not fall in love with them. But I did have a good time with some of them. I'm glad just for cultural reasons that I have now seen them.
Yes.
And can sit there and go, you know, I have an opinion on these movies, and it's validated by the fact that I've watched and thought about all of them. And my opinion is still pretty much the same, is that these movies generally aren't for me. And that's fine, because there's still some fun parts. But for the most part, I'm gonna stick to the rivers and the streams that I'm used to quote TLC.
Nice.
And that's not this particular film series. But like I said, I'm glad we did it with varying success. And I am also very excited to move on from them and start watching films that don't star Vin Diesel.
You know, one thing that I think is curious throughout this entire series, I mean, it's possible that these people are simply just locked into the franchise. And it's also possible that, like, people kind of found their cash cow and they're like, all right, this, I'm just going to stick with this. But aside from Vin Diesel, I don't think has this franchise produced any actors who have been elevated beyond the series, or do these actors kind of remain kind of like an exclusive ensemble cast to the Fast and Furious universe? Or FFEU.
So obviously they've brought, yeah, so obviously they've brought in some already big name actors to play villains or side characters, or, you know, bring in The Rock. But if you're talking about the actors that maybe they didn't introduce them, obviously Vin Diesel had a career before this started.
Right.
But, you know, him, Paul Walker, Tyrese Gibson, Ludacris, you know, almost all of those guys, this is their biggest film franchise. I mean, right, with the exception for Vin is obviously Groot. But again, that's voice work.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, it's no one's going to look back in 20 years and watch one of these movies and go, oh, this is where, you know, so-and-so got their start. And if they do, it's from a person whose career is yet to take off. Mm-hmm. And these movies have been going on for 20 years. So, you know, Michelle Rodriguez has, from what I can tell, a very decent career, and hopefully
she's done some things. I've seen her in other things. Yeah.
But I mean, this didn't turn her into the next, you know, superstar or next, you know, female action star. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say what this movie series accomplishes other than making its fans happy. It's not challenging work. I don't think it's revolutionary stunt work or CGI work. You know, say what you will about some of the Star Wars movies, including the prequels, but all of those, George Lucas's major thing was to push the boundary of special effects as far as he thought was possible. I mean, that's why he had a main character who was entirely CGI before pretty much anybody else did, is because he saw that as the future, and he was correct. He mangled that job with Jar Jar, but he definitely, as he did in the 1970s, saw the future and wanted to push the envelope to achieve it.
Sure.
So yeah, those are children's films, all of them. And they're not complex tales. They are traditional hero journey tales. But this movie, you know, you look at the Bourne movies and those are impeccable action sequences. And, you know, again, they're not fine cinema, but they can accomplish something that makes them stand out.
Sure.
To me, nothing in this series, whether it's the acting or the effects work or the stunts, nothing takes it beyond what it is. And that is a mindless blockbuster franchise. And it's greatly successful. And I think I can see some reasons why. But there's nothing for me that takes this series and puts it on a level with some of its peers that have accomplished things other than just being entertaining.
I mean, this has been true for the past few months. We've tended to, we don't enjoy the exact same things again in movies, and we're not watching the exact same things, but we approach things from like a fairly similar kind of like neutral zone. Mm-hmm. So yeah, no, I'm entirely on board with that, with the way that you've assessed that.
Well, like I said, I'm glad we did it. It was a fun experience at times. It was also a brutal slog in the middle a little bit when the movies got worse.
Wasn't it?
And yeah. Longer. And yeah, we were watching them separately.
Yeah, tune in 20 years when we do Avatar 1 through 9.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that will also, in 20 years, that will also be a series where I've only watched one of those films. Because yeah. I ain't watching Fern Gully 3, okay? but I, like I said, I'm glad we did this. It was a fun experience. I thought F9 walking into that theater and being like, what the fuck's wrong with these seats? And then all of a sudden them moving, that to me will be a highlight of my 2021 of having an accidental extreme theater experience. But yeah, you know, I'm glad we did it. I think we're better off for it, but I am very happy to move on. And like I said during our little intermission there, we are going to be moving on next week with an all-time classic that is celebrating its 50th anniversary this year.
Mm-hmm.
That, of course, is the incredible Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Or, I'm sorry, is it Charlie?
It's Willy Wonka, because which this is... It's Willy Wonka?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's so it's basically Gene Wilder is surrounded by children and like pushing the entire thing along. Gene Wilder and like all of his charisma just carries that entire movie.
It's an all-time great movie, and I can't imagine anyone hasn't seen it. Obviously, you should before next week. It's apparently. What was that?
I can actually give you an interesting story about someone who has not seen Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. And that person is Roald Dahl, who famously refused to watch that movie. That there was his story goes that there was one time where he was in a hotel and he turned on the TV and was watching something. And once he realized it was supposed to be his book, he turned it off, and that was the most he'd seen of that movie. So Roald Dahl,
fair
writer
play
of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, did not see the movie.
Fair was play not Roald Dahl pleased. He's entitled to not watch an adaptation of his work. But it was going to be adapted. It's been adapted in theaters twice, and there's a rumor that there is going to be a third adaptation.
Is there really?
They're going to do like a young Willy Wonka with Timothy Chalamet.
Okay. Is Tim Burton doing this?
No, thankfully.
Okay. All right, so Helena Bonham Carter is not going to be there somewhere. All right.
I didn't say that.
She'll be playing Veruca Salt.
All I know is Timothy Chalamet is supposed to be playing Willy Wonka.
All right. There's another book that no one has ever adapted.
Is it about a young Willy Wonka? Because maybe that's what they're adapting.
It's The Glass Elevator. So it picks up right after they shoot through the roof in The Glass Elevator.
That makes sense, given its name.
Julian the Glass Elevator.
But no, I am looking forward to revisiting Willy Wonka. There has been a lot of stuff that I have seen over the last couple of weeks. Actually, coincidentally, I had put this on the calendar before we started the Fast and the Furious stuff. I did not realize it was going to be the 50th anniversary, but it is the perfect time to revisit and enjoy one of the all-time great cinematic performances. I mean, the man, Gene Wilder, insisted that he be able to do his Kane gag at the beginning of the film. Otherwise, yes, he wouldn't do the film. And they said, sure, we're the Quaker Oats Company. Do whatever the fuck you want.
We're trying to move some nerds here. Trying to get some nerd ropes off the shelves.
He did whatever the fuck he wanted all over this movie. And it's great. And despite some of the other performances, this is truly an all-time film. So I'm looking forward to that next week.
Well, something that I remember from this movie, and I'm excited for us to watch again. There was like a window of time from like 1967 to 1972 where like in the arts, like in movies or music, everyone tried to like incorporate the word high somewhere. Like they were pulling a fast one. Like what's like Dick Nixon going to do about it? You know? And there's like all these lines. If you'll notice, Willy Wonka, like, we're really high now. We're getting so high. We're high now. You're like, dude, everyone knows what you're doing. Come on. Like, listen for it. It's so funny.
Doesn't get and just looks directly into camera. Stoned. Like to death.
Everyone throughout the movie. It's really high now. Things are high. Like,
we're getting pretty high now, Charlie. It's like, yeah, Grandpa, because you told me to steal some fuzzy lifting drink.
Dude, yeah. Have you been to the subreddit Grandpa Joe Hate?
No, but I've been on the Grandpa Joe hate train for quite some time.
I'm going to send it to you.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. But Mike, and I think I already know what your answer is going to be. So I'll start off first. Stuff that we've been watching in the meantime, mm-hmm. or media or whatever we've been consuming, I think I could take a swing at what you're going to talk about. But I've actually been watching for the first time the HBO series The Leftovers.
Okay. Tell me about that.
Have you ever partaken in The Leftovers?
No, hit me.
It's three seasons mm-hmm. of the complete series by mm-hmm. Damon Lindelof of Lost and Watchmen fame. And it opens up on an event that is unexplained, where 2% of the world's population just vanishes one day.
Okay.
Leaves Earth, and it is not explained why or how that happened. And pretty much after the first scene, we fast forward to 3 years later, and we are just dealing with the fallout of the world that exists, where 2% of the population just went missing. How people react to it, religiously, socially, mentally, how the world has coped with these people no longer existing and no one having any explanation for as to why, or what happened to them or where they are now.
So there's a show right now on Netflix, and I watched like just the first 10 minutes of it, Manifest, that kind of has a similar plot where there's like a plane that disappears. And
That was actually like an ABC show a couple years ago that Netflix bought out, and I think they've been running new seasons on it up until recently, where I believe they announced they were going to cease production. A very similar idea. I think this is from about 5 years ago, so I think mm-hmm. it predates that as far as I know, but yes, very similar kind of general plot device. So far, I'm like five episodes into it. It's been very entertaining. I did not watch Lost. I never really got into it. And once I found out it was a big puzzle box thing in high school and whatever, I just, I didn't ever try to join in on that, but watch The Watchmen and was very impressed with Damon Lindelof's handling of that material.
Mm-hmm.
So I became very interested because this series was recommended to me as just a couple of podcasters who I enjoy. It's one of their favorite television series of all time. So going back and revisiting that and listening to their actual podcast about the episodes that I've seen and kind of enjoying a deep dive on some prestige television while there's kind of a little bit of a drought in prestige television right now. Nothing really new coming out. You know, I think a lot of that is because of COVID last year, but yeah, just trying to find something to watch after we've done all this Fast and the Furious stuff. So going in a complete opposite direction with a very serious and dour and, you know, nihilistic television show.
Well, how about Loki? Have you been watching Loki?
I have been watching Loki. Are you up to date?
I am up to date.
What are your thoughts on Loki so far?
Wow.
If they got rid of him and he's not going to say wow in this
movie. I know.
I saw things on Twitter of like, it was Leo DiCaprio pointing at the television. It's like when you watch Owen Wilson on Loki and he says the word now and you thought he said wow.
Yeah.
Oh, he said it. Oh, damn, he didn't. How? Did he say it? Was that it? Oh, no, he said how. Damn it.
Wow. So, yeah, I'm really excited for WoW.
I think there's a chance we might get a WoW, because did you see the post-credit scene after this episode?
Yeah,
everybody's stuck around because I figured there might be a post. Yeah. But that gives me hope that Owen Wilson isn't gone forever.
Yeah.
So if he comes back to life, he's got to say wow, right?
Yeah. Wow.
Wow, I'm not dead.
Yeah.
Wow, jet ski.
Yeah, exactly. He's got to get that jet ski.
I hope so.
Yeah. How much of a bummer? Okay, you know, I guess I'm just going to ruin it. You can always delete it, but that, like, all the dudes who run the TVA are just found out their variants. What if they, like, go back and, like, see where they varianted, where they deviated, and it was, like, they, like, molested, like, a fuckload of children. And, like, that's why they...
I don't think Disney's going to do that, so I don't think you have to worry about that.
What if like, Owen Wilson goes back... And it's like, oh, well, you got pulled out of the timeline because you didn't, like, rape and murder a bunch of school children. You were supposed to rape and murder a bunch of children.
Oh, they didn't do that.
I mean, well, like, either way. Or, like,
that's somehow
you
darker.
You weren't supposed to, like, well, I mean, because they're supposed to let apocalypses happen, right? That was the whole premise of, like, episode 3.
Yeah, they're probably not doing too much about rape.
Yeah, so what if, like, Owen Wilson was, like, just, like, supposed to rape just, like, a fuckload of people, and they were like, well, you didn't, so now you got to be here.
So the secret timeline is not our world.
Wow. Yeah.
So I'm going to assume that Disney, the concept of rape and child molestation don't even exist on the sacred timeline.
Yeah, I'm surely we've had, like, didn't want to get molested. Somebody had to have gotten molested already. Right? Somebody's been molested, right?
I don't believe anyone has been molested as of yet in the Disney-owned Marvel series.
She was like a child of, like, the breakup of Yugoslavia. There were war crimes.
Sure, but
I don't know. I'm just saying, like,
perpetrated against her.
We know of. There's no reason to sort of, like, to diminish her experience.
Mike, if you want to write a comic book story about someone being molested or raped or pedophilized, you can go ahead and do that. But that is not going to be something.
There had to be
in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
There had to be an X-Man who like got molested.
Oh, there's
a second.
There's
Gambit,
definitely.
Like somebody molested Gambit. I don't know.
No one could molest Gambit because he'll just like burn their clothes off because he's got the magic touch.
Which X-Man was molested? Let's ask Google.
You are now on a watch list. I mean, this is going a place where I don't want it to go. But yeah, I'm sure someone has written a comic book where people get molested. I mean, the Killing Joke, the Joker, like, doesn't he rape Gordon's daughter?
Oh, yeah. And then kills Robin.
Yeah. So there. That's DC. It's darker.
That's DC. Yeah. Zack Snyder.
Darker and crappier.
Jared Leto loved that shit. Jared Leto was like, let me rape somebody.
Jared Leto can't
read. For my method. Anyway.
So other than molestation, so what you anything else on your mind?
So anyway, I'm just saying, like, there's two episodes left. It could come up. Watch what happens. Next week, episode 5, like, the first question, they're going to lampshade that. And I'm going to be like, yeah.
I look forward to that not
I'm just saying, no I'm just saying, you suggested that literally, like, nine movies and 20 years into Fast and Furious, they're going to introduce dinosaurs to the mix. And you're saying that that's less far-fetched than somebody got molested in the MCU.
I'm saying it's more likely to happen because one company, Warner Brothers, wants to add dinosaurs to their movies about car driving. I'm pretty sure Disney doesn't want to add molestation to their universally adored superhero franchise films. I'm willing to go out on that limb. And sure, it maybe if they decide to get a little bit more adult, then yeah, that could happen. Maybe that's in Moon Knight, your favorite superhero.
Moon Knight rules. His superhero is that he has split personalities, and they're all murderers. Yeah.
And maybe one of them's someone who likes molesting people, and then you'll get your wish.
Could be, and it's Oscar Isaac, so he'll be rad at that.
Until that happens,
if anybody's going to sexually assault anybody, it's going to be Oscar Isaac as Moon Knight. Or Deadpool.
That's the worst compliment you've ever given any actor. Listen, that guy, he's probably going to molest somebody. That's how good he is.
What was that movie where he had the android? Her?
No. That was...
Right?
Android other chick? Joker. No, her was Scarlett Johansson and... Who's the guy who just played Joker in Joker?
Phoenix. Joaquin
Phoenix.
Okay, then, so Oscar Isaac was in that movie where he was like,
of,
yeah, he was like the Mark Zuckerberg guy. Yeah. Yeah, he's kind of a creep in that movie. That's a good movie.
Good dancer, though.
Yeah. I like that movie.
So, Mike, I hinted at it earlier.
Yeah.
You haven't even brought it up yet. How's Mario Golf going?
It's pretty good. There's a lot of cartoon mayhem. So it actually stresses you out a lot more than normal golf because you don't have time to, you're setting up your shot, but you're also like pushing other people down on the fairway so that you can get to your ball before they do.
So it's not like Mario Kart, but golf.
So there's no blue shell, unfortunately. There's nothing like that. But you are kind of like pushing other dudes out of the way so you can like get to your shit. So it's like, it's kind of all right. If you do a solo play, you can just play by yourself and you can be really leisurely. But if you play with like other people or you play with, if you do the storyline, you're getting pretty aggressive. I'm already scared to play online. I feel like it's been out for a week, which means there are people who already figured out how to like spam certain buttons just to, you know.
You could be one of those folks, Mike.
You just told me you
don't have to work for the next 18 days. So now's the time to start training.
For Mario Golf? I want to wait for something else. I want to wait for like surely a new Cuphead will come out in that window of time. So it's fine. I'll bring it. If I don't see you on Friday, July 9th, I'll bring it on the 10th. We can play it.
Hot. All right. Well, I think that does it for this week. Mike, as always, I want to thank you for joining me. For those of you listening along, you can always head over to subject2blackout.com or reach out to us at any of the links there to our socials, including Instagram, Patreon, Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. You can also feel free to rate, review, and subscribe on any of those. And lastly, you can find Mike on Instagram and Twitter at Game Taking Podcast or Nick Taking Pod. Mike, I want to thank you for joining me.
Cheers, Tim. I enjoyed the discourse.
We did it. We did it.
Wow.